It's time now for the Lawrence Business Magazine. Here's your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have Tim Herndon, landscape architect and urban planner. Good morning, Tim.
Hello. It's so great to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. And I want to talk a lot about kind of the different things you're doing, what you're currently doing, what you've been doing. But let's talk a little bit about your history. Kind of how did you come to be in Lawrence? And what is your history with Lawrence?
Well, I came to Lawrence from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1992, and I went to work for a firm here called Land Plan Engineering, but specifically I was brought down to work with Bob Billings and Alvimar Development Corporation.
Okay.
And was really involved in the heyday of Alvimar Development and growth and neighborhood design and things like that. So that's what brought me here.
Well, that must have been a lot of fun because that was really quite a huge project.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a huge project is one way to say it. A whole bunch of projects is another way to describe it. And it was not only fun, but, just really challenging and a really creative time. And it was a time when a lot of really exciting and good things were happening with lots of professionals in the community.
That's great, yeah, because I always tell my son, just like my father told me, because my father went to KU, and then I went to KU. And, of course, when I was going to KU, everything past Castle, you know, just seemed way out there. You know, that was a whole different thing in the 80s. So when we can move, the development that has happened, and it's really quite remarkable with the two golf courses and stuff. It's really a beautiful place out there.
Well, I think it's a really beautiful place, and in terms of the lifestyles and quality of life attributes that exist in that part of our community, it has so much to offer people in terms of schools and recreation and access to major traffic and circulation routes and things like that. It's just really a quality of life that in other metropolitan areas would come at a very, very dear price.
It's true. And one of the things, too, speaking of that, the access to that area is going to be changing, and that's going to be affecting some other things, too. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that as you're, because that area has been developed. There's a lot of our the current issue, the business magazine out there, is our real estate issue.
Right. It's a great magazine. Great issue. I've enjoyed reading it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. One of the things, and we kind of really talk about the three areas of growth, kind of the west side growth, the north and downtown, kind of how it's expanding, and the east side with our farmland and the East Hills and how that's all developing there, which are all, I think, really positive things. And as west side development, one of the things you have going is there's another west side development that wasn't in that because it wasn't quite finished yet. So let's talk about this thing, the Langston Commons. I want to talk about your new project.
Oh, sure. Well, that's really great. And I like the way that you segued into this topic because East Lawrence and North Lawrence, downtown Lawrence, and South Lawrence as well. All these places in our community are equally important, and we are all one community. And even though I've done a lot of work in West Lawrence over the years, I've also done an awful lot of work in the downtown environs and in East and North Lawrence, have an equally high regard for a lot of the great work that's taken place in those areas too. But back to the west side of town, yeah, Bob Billings Parkway, formerly 15th Street, is in the process of being extended and to tie in with the South Lawrence Traffic Way out just west of Corpus Christi Parish and out in the neighborhood of Langston Hughes Elementary School. And when that takes place, that's really going to change a lot of the things that have been status quo for a while. That change is going to be simultaneous with the completion of the eastern leg of the South Lawrence Traffic Way.
And so that it really is going to happen, right?
That is really going to happen, yeah. You know, another huge project that's been ongoing now for about 5 years is the realignment of U.S. 59 mm-hmm. south of town. And so 59, the new alignment
right.
of U.S. 59 will connect to the South Lawrence Traffic Way. South Lawrence Traffic Way will connect all the way from the east side of town on K-10 to the west side of town on K-10 and ultimately to I-70, mm-hmm. as we know. And those three things happening generally simultaneously will really change the traffic dynamic in the city of Lawrence and relieve a lot of the traffic on 23rd and 6th Streets and do a lot to improve the environment by getting vehicles through town, not stopping at every signal. And we're not just talking about a few vehicles. We're talking about thousands and thousands per day. At Langston Commons, today, the trip generation on the South Lawrence Traffic Way is somewhere between 7,500 and 8,000 car trips per day going up and down that freeway. When the interchange opens, that will instantaneously leap to around 24,000 trips per day at that location. And it takes all those other roadways that I mentioned to kind of contribute to that volume of traffic. And, of course, when we have that kind of volume of traffic added to a new interchange from the freeway to Bob Billings Parkway, what that tells us is that we're going to have a lot of commuters and a lot of consumers that are passing through that intersection every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes then sense. Speaks to the land use and what will happen there.
And one of the things is that, because that's also, they've been doing that construction at Bob Billings in Iowa too, is it 15th Street at Bob Billings there?
It's Bob Billings there too. It crosses Iowa.
So at that point, so they're doing that because that's going to become a more of a direct route up to campus too, right? Isn't that one of the ways they're opening that up?
Right. That's exactly right. Really, for the first time in the history of the University of Kansas now, with this interchange at Bob Billings Parkway and the SLT, there will be a direct freeway to arterial route directly to the front door of KU. And you can just imagine how that's going to change the dynamic as opposed to the history of motorists inching their way down 23rd Street and Iowa Street and 6th Street to get to campus. So that's really going to change the way that it feels, the way it looks for a lot of commuters. As we know, KU employs almost 10,000 people, many of whom are commuters. And so that's daily traffic, and their routes to and from work will change. And then, of course, on campus events, fine arts events, athletic events to and from campus, that's also going to have a big impact.
So in this study, that interchange, that's at the Langston Commons, that backs up to, does that, the area that backs up to the school then, or how does that, what that's you're developing? Let's talk about the area that's growing and how you kind of see it evolving.
Sure. Well, specifically, the Langston Commons, Langston Heights site is at the northeast corner of Bob Billings Parkway and the South Lawrence Traffic Way. And it is a 60-acre master plan. 45 acres of that project will consist of residential development, and approximately 15 acres of that project will consist of commercial retail development. It doesn't literally back directly up to Langston Hughes Elementary School. It lies about 400 or 500 feet to the west of the elementary school. But certainly this development's proximity to that school is one of the many things that in a neighborhood helps make this development better, because we are part of the fabric of a neighborhood that is served by an elementary school. And then we have easy and reasonably close proximity to other schools as well, whether private schools like Corpus,
right,
or public schools like Southwest Elementary to the south and Free State High to the north. So,
And so when you're developing, and we'll talk about specifically about the plan, but when you're developing that and it's a plan that making sure that it fits in the neighborhood too, you know, so making sure that you're really servicing the neighborhood, that doesn't, you know, one of those things where just, you know, like why is that here? You want to feel like it's this, it's really serving that neighborhood as well as the new people. How do you balance that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as part of the art and science of master planning and landscape architecture and urban planning is doing our best to take all of the existing contextual issues and which includes the neighborhoods that are there and in place already, and making sure that we, that when we do the next phase of development in an existing neighborhood, that it fits within the fabric. It feels appropriate. It works well. It preserves the values of the existing properties. It respects and preserves the quality of life of the existing context, whether that's houses and neighbors or an elementary school or other things that happen to be there. So
I would think an elementary school makes people very sensitive to the develop more than even other things, just because that's when you're talking about your kids, everybody gets kind of hyper.
You better believe it. Working with Dr. Rick Dole and USD 497 and his staff, and with Langston Hughes Elementary School and with the neighbors, some of whom serve on committees at the school, and some of whom are just very concerned, very aware parents of kids that, you know, walk or bike or ride to and from school every day. So, yeah, the heightened sensitivity is a factor always in situations like that. In this case, the north 30 acres of this 60-acre Langston Heights master plan was approved in generally the time frame between last November, December, January, and February. And throughout that time, there was a continual back and forth, negotiation, exchange of information, public meetings, some private meetings with neighbors and neighbor groups and stakeholder groups to make sure that every facet of this development was addressed and ideally designed to preserve those quality of life and public health, safety, and welfare factors.
Great.
Yeah.
And that, now, and that area that was approved, that's mostly, that is primarily more your residential area, the north part?
Yes.
Is that correct?
The 30 acres is entirely residential.
Okay.
And it's interesting, and maybe now might be a good time to talk a little bit about physically what will go there.
Yeah, let's do that.
But the northern 30.
We might actually I think we'll actually probably take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about what's going to go there.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Currently 82 and sunshine across Lawrence, and here at 1320 KLWN, it's radio you can depend on. You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Once again, your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Tim Herndon, landscape architect and urban planner, and we've been talking about Langston Commons and just in general, but we wanted to talk specifically about what is going in these 60 acres. What's the plan for the 60 acres?
Yeah, fabulous. I'm really proud to be able to share this with you, Ann. Well, this is a 60-acre master plan at the northeast corner of Bob Billings Parkway and the South Lawrence Traffic Way. And about 75% of this plan will be comprised of residential dwellings. About 25% of it, or 15 acres, will be a neighborhood commercial development.
Okay.
Earlier this year and late last year, we worked on the northern half of the project, and that was doing the design development and conceptual work, interacting with neighbors and other stakeholders to address their concerns and to get the plan actually formally drawn and approved. So 30 mm-hmm. acres of this plan, which is all residential, was approved in January and February and early March of this year. It comprises single-family large suburban lots, some smaller single-family lots, more like you would see in downtown, in the downtown area, Old okay. West Lawrence, Mount Oread, a smaller traditional lot style. There's also a component that is duplex townhomes. And then adjacent to the freeway and the long strip that separates the neighborhood from the freeway is a row home component, which will help be a buffer between okay. you know, the South Lawrence trafficway and the rest of the neighborhood. You know, it's a plan that has a lot of great transition in it and offers a variety of housing types for the consumer.
Now, how many homes or families do you see in this space? I mean, when you're how many people go on 30 acres? I don't have a clue.
Right. Well, you know, obviously it depends on, there's a difference between 30 acres of multifamily versus 30 acres of single family development.
Sure.
But in this particular project, that northern 30 acres will house about 150 residents or 100, okay. 150 dwellings.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously more residents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a portion of the project that's suited to entry level buyers, entry level residents, single people, young marrieds, young partners, people without children. And then there's the transition upward to larger properties and larger residences that would be suitable for both entry-level families as well as large families that would demand a larger home.
And it's proximity to Langston Hughes in that case, too. It makes it a really attractive, I think, for families to want to be there, I would think.
Well, you know, in terms of the attraction to families, that elementary school is certainly one of the neighborhood attributes. And, you know, even for people who don't have kids in school, being in a neighborhood with an elementary school in it and just having the synergy and the social interaction that goes with multi-aged, community injects a lot of life there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his plan here. He's got a plan here in front of me, and I really like it. Does feel very neighborhoodish the way you have it. That's a technical term, I'm sure.
Neighborhoodish is, yeah, I learned that in college, and I haven't heard it used in a long time, so thanks for that, Ann. But, you know, there are let me just do kind of a walkthrough of the overall plan, and then we'll talk about some of the details that people would be interested in knowing about. Well, the northern 30 acres is this mixture of single family and duplex townhome and row home multifamily. There's another 30 acres to the south, and that portion of the project is currently under review by the city and will first go to the Planning Commission next month. So in late August, we'll be reviewing the zoning applications and the preliminary plat for this project before the Planning Commission and then proceeding to the City Commission immediately after that. But there are about 45 acres of mixed-use residential housing in this project. And then the 15 acres is a plaza concept of neighborhood commercial. It's important to point out that the City of Lawrence's comprehensive plan has identified 15 acres of neighborhood commercial at this precise location for years now. Back to the extension of the of Bob Billings Parkway to connect to the SLT.
Right.
That was on the schedule to be done by KDOT in the early 90s.
have no doubt.
And, you know, when the South Lawrence Traffic Way continued to be a source of controversy and eventually was stricken from the KDOT construction schedule, this interchange went along with that.
Okay.
You heard, we talked about how US 59 and the South Lawrence Traffic Way mm-hmm. and Bob Billings Parkway and 6th Street and K-10 are all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a project that might be 10 miles to the east or west is very fundamentally tied into what would happen at this site. So mm-hmm. we've seen some of the dynamic
right.
over the years come and go,
mm-hmm.
You know, with a lot of give and take relative to other projects. But this this commercial development will be at the corner of Bob Billings Parkway and the South Lawrence Traffic Way in a very high traffic area at what will become the primary gateway to the University of Kansas and what will serve West Lawrence commuters in a very big way. You know, the ability to drive 65 miles an hour
mm-hmm.
just within a minute or two from your home. A lot of people pay lots and lots of money to be situated mm-hmm. in neighborhoods like that, where, you know, we are in such a commuter-centric society. And so people who work in Topeka, mm-hmm. people who work in Johnson County, people who work in the Kansas City metro area,
mm-hmm.
and people from those areas that work, for instance, at KU, will be using this specific intersection as their primary access to the city of Lawrence. So that mm-hmm. makes this commercial development very viable, and it also speaks to the conveniences that would be experienced by residences in this neighborhood.
So when you're developing this, when you're looking at this, because off the air I asked if you had anybody yet saying that I want to be a part of this, so you don't have anybody mm-hmm. Specific and commercial enterprises, but what kind of things are you, when you're developing and you're kind of designing this, what are you thinking is going to go in here? I mean, what are
right.
your, what idea, if you had your choice,
yeah.
what kind of businesses would go here?
Right. Well, the kind of businesses that will go here
uh-huh.
are going to be, to a great extent, automobile oriented
mm-hmm.
because they're located at a freeway interchange.
Right.
So you can imagine that would be banks with drive-thrus, fast food restaurants with drive-thrus, convenience stores with fueling stations,
mm-hmm.
Also other conveniences such as dry cleaners, coffee shops, things like package stores, liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
We are reasonably certain that this will be a location for sit-down restaurants such as TGI Fridays, Macaroni Grill, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, things like that. And there'll almost certainly be some kind of neighborhood grocery component.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me if we had anybody actually on contract
mm-hmm.
to occupy one of the sites in Langston Commons. And at this time, we do not. We're early in our marketing and real estate sales process, but our primary targets right now and the people that we're talking to, and we do have interest, which is very encouraging, are grocery stores.
Okay.
We may mm-hmm. have the kind of grocery store that if you would envision with me Price Chopper, Dillon's, Hy-Vee, that type of
mm-hmm.
large grocery store, and that's a footprint of between 55,000 and 65,000, maybe
okay.
up to 70,000 square feet.
That's
we
a
see
lot,
in those.
Right? Okay,
right. And but we also have elicited interest from these grocers who specialize in neighborhood specialty groceries, which is more in the neighborhood of a 30 to 35,000 footprint, and that
okay.
is your community mercantile, Whole Foods, Hen House, mm-hmm. Trader Joe's, and those size of grocers.
Okay.
You know, so those are the types of uses that we'll see in this project. And we also have space on the property for things like specialty restaurants that would be perhaps not part of a franchise, mm-hmm. perhaps so. We have a water feature that is going to have two sites that will have water frontage for outdoor dining or indoor dining with lots of windows.
Well, let's talk a little bit. So when you say water feature, what is that? Give us a little more detail on the water feature.
Sure, I love to. It's one of the many exciting components of Langston Commons. Well, Langston Commons is at the bottom of about a 75 to 80 acre watershed. So all the developed stormwater runoff collects at a location that's on our property.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is take that collection area and turn it into a water feature and make it an amenity in this development. So there will be a pond in this development.
Very
and that
cool.
pond will have walking paths near it. It will have some kind of plaza area near it, so activities such as barbecues or shaved ice or pep rallies or mm-hmm. Those kind of right. things can take place in a formal space that's set aside just for that kind of thing by the water. But the water mm-hmm. feature itself will be just over an acre
great.
In size, and it's going to be ideal for pond side dining,
that'd be great.
Pond side seating.
So that's something going back to the other, you're as a landscape architect, instead of taking a feature that's already there in the land, and instead of trying to fight it, incorporating
right.
it into your design and turning it into something that's really a positive.
Right. You know, it's funny when I talk to my clients over the years about the way to design properties and developments is, if we take the physical attributes of a piece of property and add to those things our vision
mm-hmm.
for the property, you end up with a little kit of parts. And if it's dealt with properly, in most cases, it kind of designs itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be an instance of that, certainly, mm-hmm. where we take this water feature turn it into a bona fide amenity for the development. But there are lots of features like that on this property.
Okay.
The entire Langston Heights, Langston Commons development is going to be very bicycle friendly. We're immediately adjacent mm-hmm. to the recreation path that runs parallel with the South Lawrence Traffic Way. And a lot of people listening to this show are probably familiar with where the path goes through the tunnel
mm-hmm.
under 6th Street
right.
by the SLT.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs all the way from the I-70 turnstile
mm-hmm.
south to Clinton Lake and to the Rotary Park over by
the Arboretum over there.
Youth uh-huh. Sports Complex,
yeah.
right.
All the way down to the Regal Theaters now.
Exactly.
And yes.
And well, this project is going to have three or four tie-ins to that path.
Great.
And when Bob Billings is reconfigured here at the interchange, they're going to build, KDOT is going to build another tunnel
oh, good.
For that rec path.
Great.
So this is going to be a very bicycle-friendly development
mm-hmm.
with a continuation of those paths through the commercial development that will loop through. And that's one of the other things. That's one of the other things that will make this a unique development. Is it's going to be so bicycle friendly and pedestrian friendly, and it will be served by the T.
Great.
So we're going to have bus service here, it's going to be unique that way in terms of multimodal, pedestrian-friendly, bicycle-friendly access.
Well, I live over off of the bike path over off of 27th Street, and having a place, that bike path there has been for us great because we take it to Clinton. It's 2.5 miles to Clinton from our house, and we ride it all the time to the movie theaters, and it's just such a great thing to tie in as a bicycle-friendly community. It's such a, really does, it's wonderful, and it's because we get out there with our son, who's he's going to turn 10, and it's just such a great way to travel. You don't have traffic lights. Well, we have to do one traffic light. It's just a great thing.
Well, out in the west part of town, the bike paths are a little less impeded, and there's more of them than we have in the east part of town. And, over time, I know that we're going to rectify that and create bicycle access that works east-west as well as it does out west. Other features for this site that are really important have to do what lies just to the north and just to the south. And can we talk about those?
Yeah, you want to talk about those? We'll talk about those when we come back, about these other features when we come back after the break.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
At 9:45, you're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Once again, your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Tim Herndon, and we're talking about the Langston Commons development that is out on the Bob Billings and K-10 interchange, but I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at the local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of the newest edition of the Lawrence Business Magazine, our real estate issue, in front of Milton's the boxes in front of Milton's and Eldridge, the old Milton's, in downtown boxes. It's also available online. They keep moving those downtown. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And you can like us on Facebook and post, please find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. Before we left, we were talking about the development here at Langston Hughes and kind of some of the interesting features that Tim and everybody was developing this, what they considered to really try to make this part of the community. So let's continue. You had a couple of things that were happening. Are there things that you guys were considering and you want to put in here when you're developing this?
Well, yeah. Lisa, you heard me mention that this is going to be a pedestrian-friendly development.
It's Ann. I have a sister named Lisa.
Okay. Hey, Ann. Okay, well, give me a free pass there.
You got it.
Thanks. And we talked about the multimodal transit that's going to serve the site.
Mm-hmm.
The Lawrence bus system will serve the site, so the T will come here.
Mm-hmm.
There will be ample bicycle access throughout the property, bike paths through the commercial development. At least three locations in Langston Commons and Langston Heights that will tie directly into the SLT bike path.
Okay. That's great.
And so, that's one of the amenities that we'll feature. You heard me talk about the little pond. And I say little. It's really going to be somewhat sizable, in excess of an acre, which is pretty big, especially for a commercial development. Takes up a lot of real estate just to have this water feature on the property. And we have ample and open green space along the west edge of the project that helps us buffer between the freeway and the neighborhood and the commercial development.
Oh, that's
here.
Nice.
Not only that, but all the streets that permeate this new neighborhood, both the commercial development and the residential development, will have sidewalks on both sides.
Great.
Accessible ramps at all intersections. And we have designed this site with the school district in mind so that at their prerogative, at Langston Hughes and at the school district prerogative, they may choose to have another access point to relieve some of the traffic that's on George Williams Way right now at Langston Hughes.
Okay.
But another thing that I mentioned once before, but I just want to reiterate, that makes this special is that for any residents in this development, one will be able to immediately get on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
From even the remotest residents in this development, one will be able to drive somewhere between 1 minute and 3 minutes and be driving 65 miles per hour toward metropolitan Topeka or metropolitan Kansas City, Johnson County. And that is a real benefit.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, yeah.
Well, one of the things, too, as you're developing this, and we're talking about you, when you're, as a Lawrence resident, developing this, I know that when you're developing something, you also are taking it, you know, you have to, it's something you want to be proud of and stuff. And we were talking about, I met you through Leadership Lawrence.
Right.
So I just want to transition a little bit into that, because as you're developing things and the kind of, as a, what kind of responsibility, as, you know, and as a, as a Lawrence resident, when you're developing this, how do you, what kind of responsibility do you feel when you're developing something like this to really make it be a part of the community?
Well, I feel a great sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. In environmental design, you mm-hmm. know, we're beholden to an awful lot of stakeholders. Mm-hmm. We have the quality of life and the aesthetic and the values of our community in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good development is really going to embrace those things and take those components and make them part of the new neighborhood, the new development. We're beholden to a lot of offices and a lot of individuals mm-hmm. and community leaders. Our relationship with the police department, the sanitation department, solid waste division, the utilities department, public works office, certainly the planning office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work continually with the planning office throughout a proposal such as this one. Working with the city manager's office, legal services office, working with the school district, working with the elementary school, working with community leaders involved in things like access for public transit, access for emergency vehicles, mm-hmm. fire and medical. All of those things come to bear when we're doing environmental design at this level and of this magnitude. So in terms of our involvement in the community,
mm-hmm.
that cannot be overstated. Now, personally, I have spent a great deal of my professional career and my personal life supporting community leaders like Sue Hack, Shannon Oury, Jana Dawson,
mm-hmm.
People who really put themselves out there to create opportunities for the rest of us to become knowledgeable and
mm-hmm.
In touch with one another
mm-hmm.
so that this community really works as a team. And my experiences through programs like Leadership Lawrence, as well as programs like the Lawrence Arts Center, service on boards such as the United Way,
mm-hmm.
Have helped me to maintain a rapport with people who are really in the know, so that when we do projects like this one, which brings so many moving parts
yes.
to one mm-hmm. project, we know who to go to, we have an established rapport, and we can work through these things together as a team, knowing that on a personal level, we're friends, yet when it gets down to doing the business of following the rules and getting our permits
mm-hmm.
and necessary approvals, that we have also a very business-like knowledge of how the process works.
And, well, and also when you're developing a project like this, like you are going to, when you're setting up the businesses, how many new businesses, and do you guys have any, and you may not have this yet either, like jobs and stuff like that, how many jobs are you creating with this? Do you guys have any information on that, or have you?
No doubt in my mind we'll be creating over 200 jobs with this development, and that is just the 15-acre commercial component.
Mm-hmm.
When we take the number of residences and
right.
we convert that into a revenue figure, it is a very high revenue generator. Any neighborhood
mm-hmm.
in a city represents a certain amount of income, a certain amount of taxes paid, a certain amount of service jobs occupied by
mm-hmm.
the residents. And I'm glad you asked about that. You know, one of the things that has manifested itself in my dialogue with just the general public surrounding Langston Commons and Langston Heights is a concern about tax breaks and will my clients, RSR Development, be requesting tax breaks in the form of benefit district or transportation development districts, star bonds, or tax abatements? And the answer to that is no. This development is a standalone, self-funded, privately funded development. We're going to design it to the standards of the City of Lawrence, and we're going to do that on our dime. So I'm glad that you asked about the number of jobs and the revenue generation. That those are substantial figures. And no, I don't have. I haven't converted that into an exact number. Although I don't doubt that we'll be doing some of those studies.
Now, when you're doing this, when because you brought up that this with regards to the city, so all the infrastructure and everything that you're that's happening here, I mean, you're obviously going to be tying into the city. So, is there some sort of so that's part of when you're working with utilities and stuff, working out what the infrastructure is and working with utilities to make sure all those things are part of your system?
Right. Well, when we submit the rezoning applications and the initial plan application, the things that are submitted also as part of the application are a traffic impact analysis that are done by a separate and autonomous traffic engineer.
Okay.
A downstream sanitary sewer impact analysis so that we understand the impacts of the wastewater from the 60-acre master plan on the downstream receiving system.
Gotcha. Okay.
A drainage study, a stormwater management plan that is done by a registered engineer, a licensed engineer, actually team of engineers, to determine the best ways to channel the water through a series of pipes and curb inlets and receiving facilities so that the criteria of the city is met during big rain events, during flood events, and things like that. So there are a lot of components. We also submitted with this project a sensitive lands impact statement.
Okay.
Where the property is appraised for any historical features that might exist on it, any sensitive vegetation or other landforms that might exist on it. And an inventory of those things is taken, and a statement is given to the city for their evaluation. All part of a project like this.
Now, are a lot of those things have already been completed, right? Because you're past those.
Well, the north half of this project has been completed from the standpoint of all the approvals necessary. Now, right now, the engineering plans for building the streets, storm sewer, water line, and sanitary sewer are underway and nearing completion. That's for the north half of this project.
Okay.
The south half, the applications have been submitted to the city, and we're in the process of starting to get feedback on their evaluation of all our studies. And those things go out to all the municipal departments, and actually they go out to other state offices like KDOT as well.
Great. Well, this is very exciting, and we have to wrap up here. But Wanda, so you said in the next couple of months you're going to be taking the second half, the south half to this, hopefully getting that completed so you can start construction next year. What is your target date if everything goes smoothly?
Well, we expect things to go pretty smoothly. We had our first neighborhood meeting last week, and it went really well.
Great.
We will break ground, if nothing more than to start trenching in utilities later this year on the north part.
Great.
And we will begin home construction no later than next spring.
Well, good luck.
Hey, thanks very much.
And thank you for being here
on the show.
I've been here with Tim Herndon. This has been a very informative, interesting hour about how we're developing out west here and growing. Our listeners can get links to our site from our magazine at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com and like us on Facebook. where you can explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. I'd also like to say that my guest on August 1st is going to be Andrea Hoody, who is also in the Lawrence Journal World today, article on her working with our with the service and our military guys with the Wounded Warriors Project, which is pretty interesting. You should look that up. So Andrea's going to be on the show on August 1st. The Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN, Redefining the Concept of Business.